Log Talk Radio.
Glory, we're going to start early today. Haven't been here for a while. Getting some work done. And we thanking God, praising God for another day to come before him, come to his table, come before his throne, and just bow down and worship him, asking God his forgiveness, his mercy, his grace, and his continued love upon his people, upon my family. We just pray today that the Lord would just speak clearly to us and through his word, that his spirit would manifest his glory through this line today, through this church ministry today. We just thanking God for the knowledge, the wisdom, and understanding that he has bestowed upon me, the patience and the love that he has bestowed upon my heart. God, we just ask you today that you would anoint this word, Lord Jesus. Anoint my eyes, my ears, and my lips, that I might see and hear and speak your truths, O God. God, none of me, but all of you. And if, Lord, that I speak a word that did not come out of these 66 books or by your spirit, cause my tongue to cleave to the roof of my mouth. and never let me speak another word. My only objective, Father Yahweh, is to glorify your name, to edify your body, and terrify the devil. In Jesus' holy name. Today I'm speaking about when the judgment of Yahweh comes to earth. You know, everybody want to see God and everybody want to be God, but nobody want to die. Nobody want to die. They want to go to heaven, but nobody want to die. And everybody want to see God, but everybody's not prepared to meet him. Hallelujah. And being prepared means that we all have to live a prepared life. It's not saying I'm saved. We're not saying I'm baptized. It's not saying that I speak in tongues and I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. That doesn't matter how much you say that. What matters is how much we live the life. How much do we live holy? How much do we live righteous? How much are we obedient to the word of God? Hallelujah. God is blessing us. God is healing us. God is delivering us. But we are not living according to his word, living as his servants, as his children. Hallelujah. There's too much division in the church. Here, we look here in the book of Exodus. Let's start there. Let's go there. They have just come out of Egypt. He brought them out of Egypt with a strong hand. He had delivered them from Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And they in the wilderness because they're complaining. They constantly complain. It doesn't matter how much God do for them. They will say yesterday and tomorrow they say no. Just like us, we do that. Hallelujah. But here in this book here, in this passage is a location previously called Rephidim. It's renamed Massa and Meribah. After the Israelites complained of a lack of water, later, this location is known proverbially as the place Israel tested Yahweh, or God. You'll see the scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 16 and Deuteronomy chapter 6, 16 and chapter 9, 22, Deuteronomy 33 and 8, Psalm 95 and 8. A similar event takes place in Numbers chapter 20. These people are constantly complaining. It doesn't matter how much God do for them, they're constantly complaining. And most of the time, they were complaining to Moses and about Moses, not knowing that Moses is not giving Moses the respect that he needs as the God prophet, God representer, God deliverer to the Israelites. He was the deliverer. He's the one to deliver them, bring them out of, lead them out of Egypt by the power of God. Now here, it said in all the community, some books said all the congregation, got three books in front of me, all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness to sin. After their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitching Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. No, you understand this. I believe that most of the times we make errors, we make mistakes, all of us make mistakes because we forget what God has done. Hallelujah. We forget what God has done. We get to living and doing stuff, and things are happening for us, but we forget all the deliverance, we forget all the blessings that God has given us, how God has healed us, how God has delivered us, how God has caused us to prosper when everybody else was suffering. We forget and we complain. Hallelujah. I was doing a job and it seemed like every time I fix something and do something, something else would go wrong. And I had to stop. And I said, Lord, this is your job. Tell America that. This is your job. You do what needs to be done. I'm not even trying to figure it out, but it's your job. And the Lord says, stop, take a breather, and focus. And when I stop, I figure out what was going wrong, what was causing the problem, and I was able to put it together with the help of the Holy Ghost. Here in this text here, in chapter 17,
The Bible says, wherefore the people did strive. In other words, they were harassing Moses. They were complaining to Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide? Why quarrel? Why complain you with me? Why are you harassing me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord? In other words, do you forget that this is the same God that gave you manna from heaven? Do you forget when you were hungry that he's the same God that feeds you? Do you forget that he's the same God that leads you by fire by night and the cloud by day? Do you forget how awesome, how mighty, how magnificent, miraculous your God is? Moses began to tell him this stuff. Why are you tempting the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with terror? See, folk forget when they were crying out to God. Ah, now we start to, we were crying out to God, we want to get out of this place. God, I don't want to be in this place any longer. God, why do I have to go through all of this? Lord, help me. God, come down and talk to Moses in the burning bush. And the people acted up. Moses is staying up on the mountain too long. And they complain like we do. Now they're saying to Moses, why you bring us into the desert to kill us? Now they don't have to be whipped. They don't have to be whipped all day long, forcing them and pushing them to make more bricks to build Pharaoh's homes and Pharaoh's pyramids and all this stuff. They don't have to be whipped. They're just walking around doing what they feel like, how they feel like. They're free. But they're complaining with the very man that brought them out. Who went and talked to God on their behalf? While they were eating, while they were sleeping, while they were making love with their wives, with their husbands, taking care of their kids, doing nothing, really. Everything was given to them. Everything was handed down to them. But now they're complaining because they don't have water. Instead of praying, they say, Lord, we are thirsty. The Bible says, if we call, he would answer. The Bible says, if we seek, we shall find. The Bible says, if we ask, my God, Jesus, if we knock, the Bible speaks to us. And the Bible says, the Lord, Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. Don't we experience that? It seems like you can do your best, and your best is never enough. When the time comes, they will turn on you. This is why you got to keep your eyes on Jesus and not on people. 1 Samuel chapter 30, keep your hand there in Exodus. 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6. David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. See, when the times come, you can look at Habakkuk chapter 3. Verse 17 and 18, where Habakkuk sought the Lord. But when the time comes, you have to always seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Because it doesn't matter how much we do or don't do, this world will come against us. But God would always be there for us. The Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people and take with thee of the elders of the Israel and thy rod wherewith thou smokest the river, take in that hand and go. No, God said to Moses, Moses is disturbed by the action of the people. We get disturbed by the action of each other. Moses says, remember, God said, look, in other words, God is saying, look, you know the rod that I have already blessed, the rod that I have anointed, that's in your hand, and the rod that I have placed in your mouth, speak it. Hallelujah. You got to see it this way. Hallelujah. Do what I've taught you to do. Hallelujah. I've taught you how to pray. I've taught you how to seek me when you are in the storm. The woman sing this morning. She has been through so many storms. Hallelujah. The woman said she was in a wheelchair. She was in a hospital. She was in a nursing home. Hallelujah. She had strokes, all kinds of strokes. She said, but look at me now. Hallelujah. Look what God has done. Hallelujah. And she's remembering what God has done for her, and she's testifying. She's testifying. She has a testimony. That's a covenant with God. And she's declaring it to the people. No. He said, behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. See, when God come down, when judgment of Yahweh comes to earth, a lot of people are looking, but they're not prepared for when the judgment comes. It's coming. It sure is. My name is David. I pray that I'll be here to see it, but I might not be here. I might be going on home to be with the Lord already, because I'm living to be with him. Hallelujah. And he called the name of the place Massa and Meribah because of the tiding or the harassing or the complaining of the children of Israel. And because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Sometimes we, when things are happening to us, we think that God has left us. But as you remember, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. This is what the Lord says. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. When we get sick and the doctors are giving us bad reports, we forget all that God has done for us. We only think about the time, what we are dealing with at that particular moment. But we should go back and draw from all that God has done for us before. The people are complaining. In the dictionary, the word chide means to express disapproval of, scold, reproach. The principal child, the children of the thoughtless pranks, to harass, to nag, to impel, or the like by chiding. She chided him into apologizing. In other words, she harassed him, nag him till he apologized. This is what they were doing to Moses, the man of God, the servant of God, because they couldn't see that Moses was operating in the anointing and following the instruction of God. They say, is the Lord among us or not? Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek tomorrow. I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Moses going back to the very same place that God told him to go before and stand with the rock. Stand with the rod. God is coming down. God said, I'm going to stand with you, Moses. The judgment of God is coming down. God said, I'm going to stand with you, Moses. God is going to stand with his people. He's never going to leave them. He's never going to forsake them. We have to continually walk in the presence of God. We cannot allow the enemy. I was talking to a woman last night, a prophetess, a evangelist, and she was telling me, she said, you know, you have to stand. You have to stand in the presence of the Lord. God has brought you too far to move, to allow the enemy to move you. You have to stand. You have to look back and see, look back for a testimony. Don't look back to worry. Don't look back to complain, but look back for a testimony and see how far God has brought us. I went in. God took me back. I was laying on the bed. Yeah, there came in from work. I was tired. Took a shower and laid across the bed. And the Lord took me back to 2010. 11 years in a message that I did back then had so much of what's happening today in the message. And the Lord took me back. I put my headphone on. And I lay in the bed and listened to the whole message, the whole message. And everything that's happening, God showed me in the message. So, wow, we have to go back and look. You and me, us, children of God, we have to go back and look and see what God has done. And then we come back and see what he's doing. You'll get an idea of what he will do, because nobody knows what he's going to do. No, we don't know the future, only God knows. But if you look where he brought you from and look where you are, you'll have a reason to continue. Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men. Now, watch this. Joshua is Moses' minister. When I read that in the Bible, he said, Joshua is Moses' minister. Joshua ministered to Moses. How will you say, does he preach to Moses? No. Everything that Moses wants done, Joshua did it. Why? Because he was submitted and committed to Moses. That's why God put him in position when God took Moses out of this world. When God took him out of this world, he told Joshua, my servant Moses is dead. It's time for you to take a position now. God is talking to him. Why? Because he was submitted and committed, hallelujah, to Moses. He ministered. The Bible says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. See, because his submission, his obedience to the man of God, Joshua experienced the power and the glory of God. Moses is being tested. He's being tried by the people of Israel, the very ones that he stood up, the very ones that he went and interceded on the mountain, God's mountain, and talked to God and saw God, heard God talking in the midst of the burning bush. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hands that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hands, Amalek prevailed. See, God wants us to constantly keep our hands up. The hand is a up in the air is a sign of submission that I can't do it, but you can, Lord. I'm dependent on you to do it. I cannot do it, but you can. You are the strength of my life. You are the life of my strength. You see, so I have to depend on you, Yahweh, to come down and release judgment on my behalf. Fight my cause. I cannot fight anymore. I'm too weak. I need you. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat there on, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands. Aaron and Hur held up Moses' hands. Sometimes you need people that won't hold up your hands. Because sometimes we get so tired. We get so heavy, weighted down with the things that we're doing, the things that we face in this world. We need ministers with us that would help us hold up our hands. Because we need the presence of the Lord. We need the power of God to work with us. We must show him that we have submitted our will to him. Judgment is coming down. And God wants people that can stand. He wants us to stand. Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands. The one on the one side and one on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Nissi, the God that fights for us. Hallelujah, the God that never leaves us. Genesis 20:22-14. Hallelujah. We got to understand he is fighting our battle. He is our defender. Glory to God. Glory to God. Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. See, when God is our provider and God is the one that fights for us, we can call him by his holy name. Because we are dependent on him. We are trusting in him. We are relying on him. Go to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. Yeah, we have missed a verse there. Let me go back here to Exodus chapter 17. And then we go to 1 Samuel. Glory to God. I hear your Holy Spirit. Verse 16 says, amen. For he said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. You see, the Lord, thank you, Deacon, Brother Deacon, the Lord is fighting for us. We're in a battle, but the battle is not ours. It's the Lord. He is fighting for us. We got to know that. Glory to God. And the enemy is coming against the church. He's coming against the house of the Lord. He's coming against the body of believers. Glory to God. Woman told me last night, she says, Apostle, you got to understand who you are and whose you are. And the enemy will try everything to stop you. Everything. Glory to God. We must stand. We must stand. We must stand solid. We must stand on the rock of Jesus Christ. We are not built on sand. If you built on sand, you will easily be blown away. We had the nursery rhymes to say that the wolf come and blow and puff, huff and puff, and they blow the house down. But they only can blow the house down that's not built on solid rock. If the house is not built solid, it's going to blow down. So we built on the rock of Jesus Christ. Now in 1 Samuel chapter 15, let's go start at verse
2. Let's start verse 2. Thus says the Lord. Man, let's start at verse 1. Let's go back here. Let's read. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Now, it's just so important that we understand. We are set in position. We are called bishops, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But it's him working through us. He has anointed us to carry this word, to carry the message. It's not us. It's him working through us. We may teach well, preach well, sing well, dance well, but it's him working through us. He can take our voice at any time he wants to. He can take our speech at any time. Our education, our knowledge of the word, he can take it away from us any time. We push our chests up because we think we know so much. We are so big. We're so bossy. We got it together. He says, Samuel said to Saul, hearken thou unto the voice, not the Samuel voice. He said, hearken unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. This same Amalek that Joshua was messing with. Hallelujah. He's still reaping havoc over Israel. But God wants him out of the picture. See, the judgment is coming against sin. And we cannot be in agreement with sin. We got to hear the words of the voice of the Lord. The voice of the words of the Lord. We got to hear it. Not hearing the man, not hearing the woman. A lot of times we are trying to put things into the picture that's not there. Listen to what God is saying. I went back and listened to a message that Apostle Watson said she only got 17 minutes of the message. She said, right, she got 17 minutes because on the 6th of this month, Facebook was blocked out. It couldn't do nothing. From California, it was blocked out. And anybody that was listening to the news would know that. It wasn't Blog Talk Radio. It wasn't David Callender. It was Facebook. So three parts of the message, I've already said almost all of the message was not recorded because Facebook was blocked out. And they're planning another blocked out for Facebook because they want to pull the media down. All the media is going to get attacked. Why? Because they're not doing things according to the word of God. They're operating under a satanic submission that they're operating under. So they're doing things to glorify everything that's demonic and satanic. So anyway, but listen to me. Listen to what he says. This Amalek. Now verse 3 says, now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have. Now God, the same Amalek that was fighting with Joshua back then in Exodus, is still, Joshua's killed thousands of the Amalekites. But this Joshua is still reaping havoc. Now, not Joshua, Amalek. So God wants them completely out. Judgment is coming against him. No. He tells Saul now, Saul has been anointed to be king over Israel, and God sent the prophet to talk to him and tell him, look, you've got to get the men together and go down and destroy Amalek. Now, everything that he has, the goat, the sheep, everything that he has, destroy everything. The women, the children, the husband, the wife, everybody, destroy everything. This is God's command. He said, destroy all that they have and spare not them not. But live both man and woman, infant and suckling ox, sheep, camel and ass, everything, all his livestock, take it out. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and lay wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart, set you down from among the Amalekites, and let I destroy you
with them. For you show kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. Now, that wasn't a bad thing he did there, because these Kenites, they showed kindness. They had compassion for Israel when Israel needed compassion. The people of God needed compassion when they came up out of Egypt. But the Amalekites had no compassion. They always wanted to destroy Israel. Hallelujah. So God wants them everything that Amalek had out of the way. Hallelujah. We have to I like this verse that the prophet put up here in verse 1, where he says, the B section, where he says to Saul, now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. See, we got to listen. We have to pay attention to what God is saying. You, me, all of us, out there in computer land, and you in Egypt, you in Syria, you in France, you in Germany, you in Africa, you in India, you in Brazil, you in Denmark, you in Amsterdam, you in the Caribbean, you in Australia, you in Canada, you all over the United States of America, wherever you're listening by Wayside Light Radio, because we know you're coming, we're coming to you. And you're hearing this message, listen, if you're not saved, get saved. And if you're saved, please listen to the voice of the words of the Lord. Listen, you're going to hear some motivational speakers. Don't pay them no mind. Get where they are teaching and preaching the gospel on the satellite system, radio, the TV, whatever, and pay attention to what God is saying, because it's the word of God that's going to take your life to another dimension where you can walk in holiness, the word of God. He said he showed kindness to them, and he asked them to depart because he wants to do war. He wants to do war with the Amalekites now. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Hivalah, Havilah, until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt, next door to Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. Now watch what he did. This is his first mistake. God said destroy everything. Hallelujah. God tells us to be like Job, eschew evil. We can't deal with some evil, play with some evil, and shun some evil. Here we got the shift, shun all evil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But Saul and his people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Things that was not worthy, not worth anything, they destroyed. But God said destroy everything. Everything. Not some things. Not part of the things. He said, everything, destroy all. And then came the word of the Lord unto the prophet Samuel, saying, it repented me that I have set up Saul to be king. It repented me that I have set up Saul to be king. For he has turned back from following me. He has turned back from obeying my commands, and have not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Could you imagine when the man of God, the woman of God, has given you a word from the Lord, and you reject it? You do what you want to do because you big and bad. You said, well, I hear from God, just like Miriam and Aaron, when Moses married to the Ethiopian woman, they begin to talk down on Moses and murmured against him and somewhat harassed him, and God heard. God was in peace. Causing Miriam to, God to put judgment on Miriam. that she had to be cast aside, put outside the camp for 7 days with her skin falling off, bodies all over her, leprosy. Samuel is upset now because he had obeyed God and went down there and anointed Saul and Saul. And he gave Saul the warning to hearken unto the voice of the words of the Lord. But Saul refused. Who are we hearkening on to? Do you know that because that we love the Lord so much and we've been in ministry for so long and we have studied the book, that Satan is coming after us even more? Why? Because we know something that we shouldn't know. We should have not known, but we know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one can come to the Father except through him. And because we know this, and we believe it, and we trust it, we're telling others, Satan don't want that. He don't want us to do that. Look at the government, the United States government. They are mesmerizing the people. I mean, mesmerizing the people. Now they keep all the cargo ships out in the ocean, just looking at America. They can't deliver the food. They can't deliver the toys. They can't deliver the equipment to fix the cars and all that stuff. And now the government gonna play that. They did it. They keep them out at bay, so they can do what they want to do. See what they do? They squeeze your neck so you can't eat. You get so hungry, and then you'll do whatever you got to do because you want to eat. You want to be fed. Now they want to come up and act like they're doing a big thing for the people. Oh, we're going to cause the ships to come and deliver the food and deliver all the cargoes that was out there for months, sitting out in the ocean of the Atlantic, looking at the United States. See, because they got a satanic agenda, and they must get it done. And they will if the people of God don't fall down on their knees and pray against it and pray against the government. Pray against them. Pray for the judgment of God to come to the earth. Don't be afraid of the judgment. Because he says when he rained on the just and the unjust. But you know, the children of Israel walked around 40 years in the wilderness. And their shoes did not wear out. Their clothes did not get old. Others in the wilderness, their clothes would be falling off of them. Their shoes would be dropping in holes. But God protected the shield of shoes and their clothes. The ones who didn't believe died, their clothes that fall off of them. So we have to stay in the Word. This is what he's saying. Listen, let me get back into this thing. I want to finish this outdoor part two because I want to go into Jeremiah and Obadiah. But let's go here. I got to go and look at a job. Jesus, help me. Give me strength, Father. I need strength. Give me strength. Give me understanding. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Let's read this again. Verse 10. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repented me that I had set up Saul to be king. For he is turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up in place, and is gone about and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul and said, Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Do you see that? What a lying somebody. Now thinking that you can come and lie to the man of God or the woman of God and they're not going to know that you're lying. God revealed to Samuel early what Saul has done. And Saul coming out, talking to the man of God, I have done as God requests. That's what he's saying. Yes, I have followed your instructions. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in my ears. And the lowing of the oxen, which I hear. The son is saying, now I'm hearing some sheep and some oxen that was not in this area before. Where did they come from? I'm hearing them bleating. They're making that meh, meh. I can hear them. Saul, what are you telling me? Because Saul, Samuel, no. Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spare the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord. God did not ask for sacrifice. God told you to destroy everything. They said, what we need? We need to pray, and we need to seek. We need to ask, and we need to know. See what God is saying, what God requires of us. A young woman sent me yesterday, she called me, said, well, she inboxed me, said, Pastor, I'm sending you $75 to help you with the offerings. I said, well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, because I'm trying to finish this job so I can help them much better. And the Lord give me another job. I got to go and look at it today. I got to go and look and get the woman an estimate. Tell her I'll be over there about 2:30 or so. And look at it and measure it and see what we got to get to do and how much it costs. So I said, he talked to the prophet. They have. He didn't say, he told the people to spare the stuff. No, he's saying they have. They have. Now, putting the blame on the people. Huh? On the soldiers. And he's putting the blame on the folk who was out there in the battle. He gave them instructions. He's king. If he was following the instruction of the Lord, he would say, look, when they come, he would say, look, no, don't, remember, we destroyed everything. Don't save anything. And if they bring something, he said, no, you got to destroy that right there. Destroy it right there. If he was following the commands. God told me to give. I said, okay, Lord. I got some money here there. And I said, I always see these people at the stop when I'm trying to go into my department where I'm working on this front. So the lady told me hot water heaters are not putting out hot water. So I know it's just an adjustment in the computer. So I go adjust that. She said, well, in the morning, you know, water was burning hot, but now I didn't have no hot water. I know what's going on. So, but he said, I ain't had no money in the car. Every time I pass by, I see these people, they're begging alms. So I went to buy some parts. But as a matter of fact, I went in this store that I wanted to get a couple of valves. And they only had one, so I bought the valve. And I came up, went to another store and bought two other valves. But I told the man, I need to change this $20 bill because I need to keep change, single dollars in my ashtray. The man looked at me like I was crazy. I said, yeah, I need to keep some single dollars in my ashtray. And when I got there, there was one lady there, so I was able to, and the sign that was at the stop sign, the light was red, was able to give us some arms. But and this is what we do, because it's not, we don't try to save nothing to take back from here. Ain't nothing, we're going to leave everything here. He says, man, look, Saul said they brought their stuff to him. For the people spare the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. God didn't ask to sacrifice people. What God asking for is obedience. We must be obedient to God. We must respect each other. But we must have holy reverence for God and God alone. Not for me. I don't need nobody reverence me. I don't need nobody give me no accolades. When I got this morning, in a couple of days, I'll be 72 years old. And I know I will make it because God has promised me that. God already promised me that. You say, well, you're talking bull. How do you know? I said, because God promised me in my spirit that I'll see 72. Why? Because I have work to do for God. I could have been out there right now looking at that job. The guy called me. I sent him a text yesterday. I said, I have not heard from you what time you can meet because I could adjust myself. But he can call me this morning. Hey, Apostle, can you meet me at Trap? I said, no, I can't meet you at Trap because I'm getting ready to go on Blog Talk with you. I've put the Blog Talk down for a few days.
I said, but I want to start back up. God had told me to start back up Love Talk today. I said, I want to start it back up today. And I'm not going. I don't care how much money you're going to pay me. I'm not going. You know. When I go up, I ask God for the time. If he said, don't go, I'm not going to go up. So, then Samuel said unto Saul, stay. I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto Saul, listen. He said, say on. Saul said, he said, say on. And he said unto him, say on. Listen. Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribe of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? Ask Samuel Saul a problem. Samuel asked Saul a question. When you were nobody, didn't God bring you up and make you king over the whole of Israel? When you were just out there in the quack house, in the whole house, when you was on the street running here behind this woman and this, that, and that, so didn't God pick you up and make you a minister of the gospel? Yes, I did. Yes, he did. And the Lord set thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed, until they all are destroyed. God did not bite his tongue. He did not stutter. He said exactly what he wants done. God wants us to speak the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. He doesn't want us to water down the truth. God wants us to walk hand in hand as kingdom builders, not apart. We allow everything that the devil can bring to bring division in the house of the Lord. Everything. Every, from the smallest thing to the largest thing, we allow the devil to bring division. Because we're not listening. And the Lord set thee on a journey and said, go, utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but this fly upon the spoil, and this evil in the sight of the Lord? See, the command is to hearken to all the voice of the words of the Lord. That's the command. Not some, not part. You have preachers today that are preaching with fire. And when you look around there in hotels, motels, all the inns, motel 6, all this stuff, they're doing all this stuff, on the cover stuff, like God can't see and God can't hear. They're drinking, they're smoking, they're getting high. Fornicating, committing adultery, like God can't see and God can't hear. God says, no, you have to walk this whole thing. The road to eternity is narrow. It's very narrow. It's only got one door. And that door is Jesus Christ. And if you don't walk that narrow path, you're not going to find it, even though it be right before you. Listen to what he says. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took, listen, you the king. I cannot put the blame for Blum Talk falling short on anybody. When I set this Blum Talk at night or the morning and I don't put in the right time or the right date and the program has to shut down in 15 minutes, I accept it. It's my fault. I don't put it on nobody. I said, well, you know what? I didn't pay attention to what I was doing. Instead of pressing 180 minutes, I pressed 15 minutes. But I can't change it. Because once I push, program, create, it's gone. Once the time starts, I can't go back.
And that's the thing. Once we speak a word out of our mouth, we can't take it back. One thing I do, I try my utmost best. I said, Lord, you know I'm not perfect. Only you are. I said, but Lord, I ask you to help me to correct things that I come short on. Because I don't want to give the devil not a footstool, not a foothold. Saul here now is trying to cast the authority on the people, that the people take the authority and did it. Notice the ultimate authority is on you, your leader, your commander, your ambassador. God put you up there, tell you do this, do it. Don't put it on nobody. But the people took the spoiled sheep, oxen, and chief of the things, and which should have been utterly destroyed, and to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. God did not ask the prophet to have Saul save any of the produce, any of the animals, any of anything that the Amalekites had. Because God see them as sinners. And he didn't want anything from the sin. He didn't want nothing that is defiled to come to his house. God didn't want it. A lot of times we're taking stuff, and we're taking stuff, we're not even praying over it. Oh, yeah. But Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? This is the third time he's talking about this. Obeying the voice, hearkening to the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Listen to what Samuel is saying to him. This is so powerful. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. When we rebel. When we rebel against the woman of God, the man of God, the servant of the Lord, it's like witchcraft. I don't talk to him. I won't talk to her. I want to fellowship with her anymore. I want to fellowship with him anymore. I don't want to be part of the ministry no more. It's like witchcraft. And we think in our soul, in our spirit, man, that we are right. But here, it says that we are wrong. And it says that we are like witches and warlocks. That's what it says. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. We don't want God to take away our position from us. I was over to me and Evangelist Brown. He went over to visit a pastor. We went to visit a pastor's, to the pastor now, his sons, two sons of pastor now. Passing the place. And we went to visit. And we look. Let's go to Numbers chapter 20. I believe it is. And let me see where my time is. I still got time. And I went in there. And, you know, I was wondering. Because sometimes you see stuff happening. And so much happened to us. That we be mesmerizing our own thinking. I look at this woman, and she was paralyzed. She couldn't go to the bathroom on her own. Her face was twisted. Her hands and feet were twisted. She had several strokes. And I begin to think, well, she was a woman of God. Why is all these strokes happened to her? But as I studied this text and looking through this text, I realized that sometimes we become disobedient to God because we think we heard and we think we know, and things happen. Judgment comes from heaven to earth. It comes. And because we didn't follow the command of God, judgment take hold of us and we can't escape. It repented God that he had set Saul up. God, Yahweh, set him up. He sent the prophet to go down and anoint this young man, king over Israel, over all his people. And he required that this young man would adhere to his word, follow his instructions, all the words of his voice, the voice of his words. Follow all. Here in the book of Numbers chapter 20, let's start at verse 14. I believe that's where he wants me to go. And Moses sent messages to Kadesh unto the king of Edom. Thus said thy brother Israel, thou knowest all the travail, all the troubles that have befallen us. How our fathers went down into Egypt, and we have dwelt in Egypt long time, and the Egyptians vexed us, they mistreat us and our fathers, abuse us and our fathers. And when we cried unto the Lord, he heard our voice and sent an angel and have brought us forth out of Egypt. And behold, we are in Kadesh, a city in the uttermost of thy borders. Let us pass, I pray thee, through thy country. We will not pass through thy fields. We're not going to walk through your vineyards. Listen what Israel is saying. Or through the fields or the vineyards, neither will we drink of the water of the wells. We're not going to trouble anything that you have. We just want to be able to pass through. We will go by the king's highway. We will not turn to the right hand nor to the left until we have passed thy borders. And Edom said unto him, thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with the sword. See, this is why God wants to destroy them. They didn't give God's people the opportunity to pass through. We ask for help, not for abuse. And the children of Israel said unto him, we will go by the highway, and if I and my cattle drink of thy water, then I will pay for it. I will only, without doing anything else, go through on my feet. And he said, thou shalt not go through. And Edom came out against him with much people and with a strong hand. They came against him with much people and with force. And Edom refused to give Israel passage through his border. Wherefore, Israel turned away from him. God did not like this. Let's go, I was going to stop there. Let's go down. And the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, journeyed from Kadesh and came unto Mount Hor. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor by the course of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, for he shall not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because ye rebel against my word at the water of Meribah. Take Aaron and Eleazar, his son, and bring him up unto Mount Hor, and strip Aaron of his garments, and put them upon Eleazar, his son, and Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, and shall die there. Now you see that? You see what disobedience caused? This is the judgment of the Lord, judgment of Yahweh comes to earth. Aaron was a priest unto the Lord. I want you all to see this, because it's jumping off the page to me right now. Aaron was a priest unto the Lord, but he was disobedient. And because, just like his brother Moses, because he was disobedient, doing his own thing, he can't go into the promise. He cannot enter. So now his priestly garments is taken off and put on his son Eleazar, and Aaron died there. And Moses did as the Lord commanded, and they went up into Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. And Moses stripped Aaron of his garments and put them upon Eleazar his son, and Aaron died there in the top of the mount. And Moses and Eleazar came down from the mount. And when all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, they mourned for Aaron 30 days, even all the house of Israel. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 27. I think that's what I got. Yeah. In my last days that I'm living, I really want to stay obedient to the voice of the Lord. It doesn't matter what go on. In Jeremiah 27 and 3, and send them to the king of Edom and to the king of Moab and to the king of Ammonites, of the Ammonites, and to the king of Tyrus and to the king of Zidon by the hand of the messengers which come to Jerusalem unto Zedekiah, king of Judah. Verse 6. And now have I given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar and the king of Babylon, my servant, and the beasts of the field have I given him also to serve him. Now I want you to see that when even Nebuchadnezzar, God will use him. Understand? Use Nebuchadnezzar to get Israel straight, to bring repentance to Israel. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let's finish this up. I think I've got time. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 4. When there was in Israel, when there was in Egypt, Israel was in Egypt, that 40 years, they only had to go a few miles. Because of disobedience, they go round and round in a circle, crossways, sideways, every which way, to reach the promised land. The Bible says, all the commandments which I commanded thee this day shall you observe to do, verse 1, that you may live and multiply. Excuse me. That you may live and multiply. And go in and possess the land which the Lord straight unto your fathers. See the blessings that God has prepared for us. We're only going to receive them when we are in obedience, when we are submitted and committed to the voice of the words of the Lord. All the voice of the words of the Lord. No, what he says. And thou shalt remember all the ways which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thy heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. Now, God has a way of doing things. God will let things show up in our life to see if we're going to stand fast, if we're going to still be who God said we are. I said, well, I don't have to be here. I can be there. Well, that's not what God said. How can I tell you that God said that I'm supposed to be here, but tomorrow I'm not here? Because I choose to do my own thing. I've proven myself that I'm who I am, not who God said I am. He said, he kept them in the wilderness for 40 years to prove them, to know what was in their heart. God already know. Because he said, what's in thy heart will come out your mouth. And they were already speaking against God and against Moses, against Joshua, against Aaron. They were speaking against the servants of God. So God already know. But God put them in there, giving them an opportunity to change. God gives us an opportunity to change. Because while he gave us a will or a choice, we can choose to follow the way of the Lord, or we can choose to do our own thing. Hallelujah. He says, he humbles thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. Thus man live. So we need the word, the same word as in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, when the devil was testing Jesus to turn stones into bread after he'd been fasting. You know, my belly is going back to my back now. I'm cramping. But the word of God is feeding me. That raiment wax not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. 40 years there in the wilderness. God is testing them. Hallelujah. He gave them manna from heaven, which their fathers didn't know about. He gave them water. Came out the rock, and Moses strike the rock. Thou shalt also consider in thy heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so does the Lord, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. God correct us, his children that he loves. We have to go through some things from time to time. Don't take it to heart and get mad with the preacher. God is saying what he wants to say. He already had it penned down by men of faith for our correction, for our edification, so that we can live. Therefore shalt thou keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth be into a good land, a land of brooks, of waters, of fountains, of depths, that springs out of valleys and hills. See, the God bring us blessings from places that we can't even conceive. This all is a blessing that coming to the people. He said, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware, listen to what he said. We're talking about when the judgment of God or Yahweh comes to earth. He said, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten all and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwell therein, and when thou thy herd and thy flock multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart is lifted up. People, when they get these fine houses and fine cars, money in the bank, wearing the Rolex watch and the diamond bracelets and all that stuff, hallelujah, they forget God and say, well, I'm wealthy. I'm healthy. I got all the stuff that I need. I don't need God. He said, then thy heart be lifted up, and don't forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Sometimes we forget what God has done for us, because it seems like everything is going well for us. We praise him today, and then we get mad at him tomorrow. Who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness wherein with fiery serpents and scorpions and droughts, where there were no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do the good at the latter end. See, God wants to humble us, all of us, so at the latter end, we can be blessed. Hallelujah. We can experience the goodness of the Lord. And thou say in thy heart, my power, the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. See, what happened is when we start to preach and start to teach and things start to happen, we don't say God did it. God is doing this, and only God can do this. We start operating like it's us doing it. But remember, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy father, as it is this there. And it shall be, if thou do all, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that you shall surely perish. Listen what Moses is saying to Israel. When you get your riches, and you get all your big homes, and your fancy cars, well, back then they didn't have cars, they had horses, and donkeys, and camels, they had goats and sheep, and they had vineyards, making a lot of wine and cotton and all that stuff. And if you had a lot of sheep and goats, you was considered a rich person. You had vineyards and cotton fields and all that stuff, and plums and brooms and all that stuff. You were considered very rich. And you had a nice home, built of clay. People would act like they didn't need God. He said they would surely perish. And as the nations which the Lord destroys before your face, so shall you perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of, there it is, the voice of the Lord your God. God is wanting us to obey. He wants us to obey. Hallelujah. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 35. Ezekiel chapter 35. Ezekiel chapter 35. Glory to God. God bless this word. God bless this word. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on into Ezekiel 35. Hallelujah, Jesus. Pages 35. Let us start at verse 1. Hit a couple of verses here and cut out. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, Ezekiel, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Mount Seir, and prophesy against it, and say unto it, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O Mount Seir, I am against thee, and I will stretch out my hand against thee, and I will make thee most desolate. I want you to see what God is saying to this city. God is telling the prophet to stretch out his hand. Make a point of contact. Let your hand be the weapon that I use along with my word. He speaks to it. It will be desolate. This same word is in Jeremiah chapter 12. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 12, Jeremiah chapter 5 and 15 and verse 6. God is going to strip nations that depended on their wealth. When judgment of Yahweh come to earth, nations will be stripped of the things that they put their faith in, their trust in, their hope in. They will be stripped. Their fancy cars, their jets, their yachts, all this stuff, their money, their gold, the bitcoins, all this stuff that they put their trust in, the more they get, the more they want, they will be stripped on. And many will die before he comes, before he show up with judgment and leave all their money. They said Nancy Pelosi and her husband have stolen so much stuff because they know they got access to the stocks. And in order to just get the inside trading information, how to buy stocks. And now their net worth is over $315 million, maybe over more than that now, $315 million. You hear what I'm saying? And they're putting their trust. The more they get, the more they want. And they're doing everything to keep the poor poor and make the rich richer. But God said, don't worry. When I come down, and even before I come down, you'll see many of them will die and leave their riches. They'll leave all their gold, all their big homes. They got Nancy Pelosi owned about six homes, multi-million dollar homes, six of them. Six of them. Multi-million dollar homes. And I guarantee in her city there's many starving people. Listen, somebody just called me, sent me an email to intercede for a daughter and charged for stabbing somebody. Oh, Jesus. She's meeting with a lawyer right now. Father, I pray for this young lady, and I ask God that you give her favor, Lord. Lord, that she's an African-American, Lord. Lord, I pray that even right now that Laverne daughter, Lord, you would extend mercy. For the king's heart is in your hand. That means the judge's heart, Lord. You can turn it wherever you want to. Lord, I ask right now in the precious name of Jesus that you give this young lady. Don't let her life be just put away in a cell. Lord, she's just a young woman. Lord, did not even see half her life yet. Father, we ask God that you remove the wickedness out of her heart, that she might come forth with a short sentence, oh God, to serve you, even if maybe probation. In Jesus' name. Now, here back in this text, it's just 15 verse, we're doing it, get rid of here. Verse 4 says, he's speaking through Ezekiel the prophet. He said, I will lay thy cities waste, and thou shalt be desolate, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, because thou hast had a perpetual hatred and has shed the blood of the children of Israel by the force of the sword in the time of their calamity. In the time that their iniquity had an end. Therefore, as I live, says the Lord God, I will prepare thee unto blood, and blood shall pursue thee, since thou hast not hatred blood. Even blood shall pursue thee. Thus will I make Mount Seir most desolate, and cut off from it him that passeth out and him that returneth. And I will fill his mountains, that's his strongholds, with his slain men in thy hills and in thy valleys. And in all thy rivers shall there fall that are slain with the sword. I will make thee perpetual desolations, and thy city shall not return, and you shall know that I am the Lord. God is speaking. When the judgment of Yahweh comes to the earth, these are the things that's going to happen. As he was yesterday, he will be today and forevermore. Because thou hast said, these two nations and these two countries shall be mine, and we will possess it. Whereas the Lord was there, therefore as I live, says the Lord God, I will even do according to thy anger and according to thy envy, which thou hast used out of thy hatred against them. And I will make myself known among them when I have judged thee. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord, and that I have heard all the blasphemies which thou hast spoken against the mountains of Israel, saying, they are laid desolate. They are given us to consume. Thus, with your mouth, you have boasted against me and have multiplied your words against me. I have heard them, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, when the whole earth rejoices, I will make thee desolate. God says, when they're rejoicing, he will make them a ruin. As thou this rejoice at the inheritance of the house of Israel, because it was desolate, so will I do unto thee. Thou shalt be desolate, O Mosiah, and all Adumia, even all of it, and they shall know that I am the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. I have one more scripture to give. Put on there now. Get out. Obadiah. Let's see what the scripture is. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let the nations rejoice. Hallelujah, Jesus. Obadiah chapter 1. Hallelujah, Jesus. Obadiah 1:7-9. All the men of the confederacy, we brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevail against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy thee? Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom, and understanding out of the monk of Esau, and thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed to the end of every one of the monk of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. God is speaking. He said, for thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever for thy violence against thy brother. Shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. Father, we thank you and praise you for this word that you have given us today. And Lord, we pray that we have spoken a word, and the word has gone forth throughout the four corners of the earth. Lord, we know it will not return void. It's your word. You have given it to me. And Lord, we have done as you have said. We have declared it. We have released it. And we pray that whosoever should hear it, wherever, whatever nation, continent that they hear this word, that this word will give them a greater understanding of living holy, living righteous, trusting you, depending on you, relying on you, and living by your word. Father, we just thank you right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen. Bishop James, I think you're on the phone. You ready to do prayer salvation? Could you do prayer salvation?
Are you available?
Not an apostle. He's on his way.
Okay, Bishop, I got to go get something to drink. My throat is itching me.
He's
so
on his way.
When you come on, just go ahead. I heard him.
You heard me?
I heard him. I heard you. I heard you.
Okay.
Well, I said, okay, Bishop, I got to go get something to drink. I heard you say that.
Oh, okay.
And I was telling him I'm going to get something to eat, to drink, because my throat is itching me.
All right. He's right here.
All praise, honor, and glory to Lord God Almighty. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for allowing us to be here on this day, be in the land of the living, and to encourage people to come to you, Lord Jesus. There's no other way to heaven, no other way to the Father, except through the Lord Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. We thank you, Lord God Almighty, for sending your only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have life everlasting. Hallelujah. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Hallelujah. Glory to God Almighty. That comes from the book of John at chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Hallelujah. Now, way to salvation is through the book of Romans, chapter 10, beginning at verse 8. And this says, and what does it say? Well, the word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's a promise of God. Now, confession is made when you make that short confession, you know, and you must repent. Once you've made the confession and you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. It's a promise of God. And you must repent. And repentance is not returning to the previous way you were living. I don't care if it was an hour before you made this confession of salvation and ask Jesus to receive you as his servant and to take you in his arms and protect you from the enemy. Hallelujah. And if you have done this, you must repent, not returning to the wrong things that you were doing through your life. Hallelujah. If it was an hour ago, 15 minutes ago, but you've received Jesus, you must repent. Do not go back. That's what it means, repentance, not returning to your previous way of living. And the word says there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. So God receives us all. We're all his children. Hallelujah. Now your next step is to be baptized. And that's done as we do it in the book of Acts, chapter 2, beginning at verse 38. And the word of God says, then Peter said unto them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And with many words, encouraging words, he spoke to them and encouraged them to receive Jesus as their Savior. And many were baptized. About 3,000 souls were brought to Christ that day. We urge you to join those 3,000 plus millions and millions of other souls since that time who have received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. Billions of souls have received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Be among that number, because we are on the winning team.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what you've done in your life, repent, mm-hmm. repent. Do mm-hmm. not go back. Hallelujah. Now, when you get to a church that will baptize you in that manner, the book of Acts, chapter 2, beginning at verse 38. And it tells you that, the book of Romans, it's the book of Acts, chapter 4, at verse 12. Nor is there any other name mentioned among men under heaven. There's this. No other name except the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only way. No matter what people may tell you, Jesus is the way. He is called the way. He is the only way. So I urge you to baptize, invite people to your baptism, your friends, your relatives, neighbors, enemies, co-workers, strangers on the street, invite them to your baptism. And by doing so, you will be accounted a blessing, will be accounted to you for drawing those saints, drawing those people to become saints of God. If they accept Jesus as the Lord and Savior and get baptized, God's going to reward you for that. So, hallelujah. Now, if you don't have a Bible, I suggest that you get one. There's several Bibles out there that's good. King James, New King James, New Living Translation, English Standard Version, Logos, and pretty many good Bibles. Take your time. Ask the Holy Spirit to allow you or send you where he wants you to go in the Bible. Read a scripture. Read a couple of scriptures. Just a couple of sentences. And if you don't understand it totally, just ask the Holy Spirit to explain it to you. And he will. He will find, he's got a way that he will explain it to you, whether it be audible or through someone calling you on the phone or someone passing you on the street or something. You ask him a question and you get the answer. God has a way of answering. And his way is the way. Hallelujah. Now, congratulations. And for all you sisters and brothers who have rededicated your life to Christ, congratulations, brothers and sisters. Prodigal sons and daughters, you've come back home.
Welcome back.
Hallelujah. Welcome back. Mm-hmm. Welcome again, new believers. Hallelujah. And welcome mm-hmm. to the Block Talk Radio family. Join us every day, if you will. And if you have some scriptures that you would like to read, get in touch with the Pastor Calendar. You know, just tell him on the line, hey, I'd like to send you my number or something and give you my name, and I'll be there, and I'll preach for you. Some people are ministers, and they just, haven't been active. Come back. Come back, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord God Almighty.
Praise God.
Okay, Apostle, it's back to you, sir.
Thank you so much, Bishop, for that prayer of salvation. For some reason, I'm getting this itching in my throat now, this dust or something. Weather changing, but the prayer of salvation was great as always. We thank God for you and pray much strength in the Lord. And I got a call I got an inbox just now from a lady in Chicago, and she lives in Georgia. And her daughter, I can't remember how old her daughter is right now, but I know she's a young lady, she's not a grown up, you know, she's charged for stabbing somebody. Well, it's not murder, so, but she wants me to pray for her, but does she wants me to meet, have a conference with the lawyer, to reference. So, it's always something to do when you're working. So when I have to do it, I will set up an appointment to have a conference call with him and give, because I just know her mother through, I would say about 11 years, I knew her through another lady in Texas that is one of my spiritual daughters and who I was glad to get Blog Talk Radio. I used to go on her prayer line, and they used to have so much stuff going on. I mean, argumentative and stuff, so the Lord said he didn't want me to do that. They had a conference line, so that's where one of the ladies came on that line one time and told me she wanted me to pray for some woman husband to become her husband. And I told her I couldn't do that, because God would not be in agreement with that. Say she was an evangelist or a prophetess, but God showed her a husband and get to find out that the husband she's claiming, I'm not even going to sign God's name to that, she's claiming that God showed her this man that is he's a pastor or something, is got a wife, and that's her husband. Mm-hmm. I said, no, I can pray for that, because God don't do mistakes. He don't do mistakes. Men do, men and women do mistakes, but God doesn't do mistakes. So I never talked to her since that, but I met this young lady. She had a lot of problems, health problems and stuff on that prayer line. And ever since then, she was Corby. She's on Blog Talk. She's on Messenger. And she gets the message every day. And she fights. She's fighting. She's fighting hard for her life, to live the life that pleases God. And the fight is not easy, you know. It's not an easy fight. But she is fighting hard. And we pray for her. And she sent me the message. Said she wants me. She said, Dad, I need you to talk to the lawyer for my daughter. You know, because, you know, sometimes you have to go in there and you have to put in the word to help people. And the court sometimes would say, if you get a reference from somebody that's a minister or somebody been walking the walk, they will sometime grant them a little leniency. And that's what I got to do. But I thank God for you, Bishop and Apostle and Deacon coming on the line. We took a little time out, so I had to work on that job. But I got one tenant over there that I'm dealing with now that is trouble. Not so much a trouble. She's a Christian woman, but, you know, she don't answer the door. Her son is laying in the bed all day long. He don't answer the door. And when I want to test stuff, I can't get into the apartment to test stuff. So now I got to drive all the way back over there in the rush hour. And I have to go look at another job where the people want me to come and put in a new system for them. And my wife say, I better go. You better go back over there now and get the heat, get the hot water for them to take a shower. I said, So I'm going to drive over there first and take care of that. See if I can call these other people. But the line is open if anybody wants to respond. If not, we're going to pray out. And see you all next time the Lord's fair. So hopefully we'll be here tomorrow.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Thank you, Jesus, for the word.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I hear in this message, God bless your apostle. I hear in this message that, you know, the wrath of God is definitely in the earth right now, and his judgment is in the earth. It is. God is making judgment. And so you're talking about wrath, the wrath of God, the judgment of God, and it's going to come. It's going to come. God promises all the way through all of his prophets and through you today to warn the people to be prepared. Prepare yourself. Repent. The message is about repenting and staying prepared for the Lord's return, because he shall return. And that's what I hear in the message, that we should stay prepared and turn from our wicked ways and pursue the Lord with everything. With everything within us, we should pursue the Lord. You know, people forget, even people of God, other people of God forget that the God, the same God who showers us every day with new mercies and grace, he showers us, is the same God who warns us of these judgments, and he will pour out his wrath. The same God that pours out grace and mercy is going to pour out wrath, because he's given us his word. He's given us time because he's patient and he's faithful. He's given us time to get our act together because God is a faithful and patient. He has that long suffering, and thank God for that, because if not, we would all be on our way to hell if he hadn't made that sacrifice with his son. And so that's what I hear in the word. Get yourself together. as we always say, prepare yourself for the coming of the Lord, because he is coming. And if we are backslidden, and so many times God's people has been backslidden, and God always comes when they repent. God comes and he restores. That's our God. He is the God of restoration. He's the God of mercy. But if we continue to flow in the sin, especially his leaders, God is coming for the leaders first, and he's holding his leaders accountable for not doing what we need to do and being responsible. Amen? So he's coming for the church first. Hallelujah. And he's talking to his people today. Glory be to God. And all the prophets were talking to the people of God. They went to the people. God sent them to his people so that they would know that God is not playing around. God is a serious God. And so when we look at, when we read in all the other books of the prophets, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. God is saying the same thing. Come back. Come back to me. And then he'll restore us. So that's what I was hearing. Repentance. Being repentance and getting aligned again with the word of God. Because this is what it takes for us to get to where we need to be when we leave this place. So God is angry right now. He's angry with his people. The church has fallen. It's in a fallen state, bottom line. We know that. We know that. Christians are sometimes worse than the people in the world. And so we need to give God our everything. And God has promised that he will turn away his wrath if we will turn away from our sins. And if we refuse to return and bow to God, who has faithfully all the time guided us, protected us, and provided for us, then he'll show us a thing or two. Amen. And it won't be good. A good, wonderful, mighty God will pour out his wrath. The one that loves us so much, he will pour it out on us. So if we don't want to listen, if we want to be rebellious, he got something for us. Amen. So there's always hope. Thank God. There's always hope. And God is always willing to give us another chance. Hallelujah. We can still humble ourselves and return to him and receive his mercy. Amen. So we got to, as leaders, we have to, as leaders, be accountable. We have to, as leaders, give people the word and teach them how to live. And if we're not doing that, if we're following greed, if we've got greed and disobedience and all of that, it's not going to work. And the punishment is going to be even more harsh for the people of God, for the leaders. Today, God was speaking to leaders, to his people, amen, who still will not humble themselves. And this is a warning. What you have preached today is a warning about the complaining. And you talked about in the wilderness and how they complained against a mighty God, a God who kept them day and night. Hallelujah. Clouds by day and fire by night, sending his bread, sending food from heaven. Hallelujah. Miraculous food. You can't ask for more than that. And God is doing the same thing today. Even while we complain, God is faithful. But he will not continue to have mercy on us unless we turn away from our wicked ways. Amen. Amen. So if we've fallen short, we do fall short of the glory of God, but we got to ask God, God, help me. Help me to do right. Help me to be right, God. Help me to walk in holiness, and he will. Help me in my faith. I got to ask God, because sometimes sometimes we forget, because God is so good. We take him for granted because he's so good. But when we get trouble, he's the first one we call. He's the first one we call, but we must call him every day, not just when we're in trouble. And that will please God, because then he'll know that we love him and we trust him, and we can have a good life in God. So that's what I was hearing. Repentance and the wrath of God is definitely on his church, and it's not over yet. It's going to get worse as time goes on. as time goes on, we're going to see so much wrath of God. And as time goes on, we will see the blessings. There are the blessings for those who are obedient. Amen. And so I thank God that God gives us another chance. He's a God of restoration. He's a God of vindication. He'll vindicate us when wrong has been done to us. But just think, when we do wrong to God, what do we expect him to do? He's telling us in his word what he's going to do, so you can expect it. Whatever God said he'll do, he's going to do.
Mm.
Hallelujah. We expect God to do everything he said that he would do, so he expects us to do the same. Amen. So glory to God. I won't keep you, Apostle. I know you're busy. So thank God for the word. Thank God for you. It was a wonderful word, a word again about the wrath of God and being warned to stop the complaining, stop the foolishness, and get it together and follow God at all costs. Stay submitted and committed, and don't fall for the devil's tricks, and do not, and that way we won't compromise. And that's what's going on with the church. The church is compromising, and they have fallen. They're in a fallen state. To get us back, because God is coming. God is already. It's already so many. So many. God is already in the mode of destroying some. So praise God. Thank you, Apostle, and thanks to everyone who came to Black Talk today to listen to the word. God bless you. God bless your family. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. I'm done.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Apostle and Bishop. Deacon is so faithful. He's so faithful.
Yes.
He's being faithful. We thank God for him. And if nobody's saying this, if Bishop can go ahead and pray us out, I will greatly appreciate it, because I got to run now. I got to run now trying to get these couple things taken care of quick, because tomorrow or Friday, I got to put some brakes on my car. My car is messing in the front. I got to go get me some front brakes. I got to put them on. I just put brakes last year or year before. I don't know. But at the front one, the left side, it's giving me a noise. It's making noise, so I got to change it. But anyway, pray us out, brother, Bishop, and we greatly appreciate you. And we'll be back on tomorrow. Lock Talk be on tomorrow.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, as we depart one from another, may God sustain us. May the love of God sustain us. May the protection of God watch over us. May the direction of God. Is that Mother Graham?
Lead us in God.
Yeah. No, she's not online.
Okay. I can hear her.
She had a death in the family, so just pray for her. Keep her prayer. Keep her in prayer.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's right. She sure did. Yes. Mm-hmm. May the love of God protect us.
Yes, sir.
While we are apart one from another, mm-hmm. May God be the glory. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Bishop and Apostle and Deacon. Thank God for you all. Let's keep our country in prayer, because there's a lot of stuff going on and a lot of stuff going to be happening. I'll tell you in the next, it's happening in the next 4 months, I'm telling you. And they're predicting all this stuff to happen. So let's stay in prayer. Stay in prayer and stay fasted, okay? Stay fasted. Don't be tested to eat stuff before the sun goes down. We're in a terrible time right now. And even Israel, people in Israel are fasting right now because so much stuff is happening. So let's stay fasted. God bless you all. I hope to see you all tomorrow or later. God bless.
Bless you.
Right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.